everyone, and welcome to Baird's IPO Reboot series, where executives can learn the ABCs of going public. I'm Tom Shadwald. I'm a director in Baird's Equity Capital Markets Group based here in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. On episode 9, we're going to talk about the listing day. I'm super excited to be joined by Jack Castle, NASDAQ's head of new listings. Jack, wouldn't you mind introducing yourself quickly to the viewers?
Thanks so much, Tom. Appreciate joining you today. And hello, everybody tuning in, I guess. Jack Castle, I am NASDAQ's head of new listings. So essentially, I run NASDAQ's IPO business globally, working with private companies as they look to transition eventually to the public markets.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack. And so maybe just the level set here at the beginning of the conversation. When do companies typically start engaging with an exchange like NASDAQ around their IPO process?
Yeah, I think it's probably very similar to a lot of the service providers, as much in advance of an eventual IPO as possible. So for some companies, that's 6 months, some are 12, some are 18 to 24 months, right? Especially as we've seen this trough in the IPO market now, we've been engaged with a lot of these companies over the last 2 to 3 years as they've raised significant rounds and started to think of what that potential exit opportunity looks like. I think for us, we've really developed a unique platform to support companies at each point of their cycle of growth. And then as they work towards that, obviously the cadence picks up. But for us, it's really trying to engage and support them in their efforts well in advance of the eventual IPO.
Maybe just to follow up and dig a little deeper on, in terms of kind of the preparation work, what all are you typically doing alongside companies kind of from that initial meeting leading up to the listing itself?
Yeah, so I mentioned that platform. We've really developed solutions and services to help companies throughout each stage of their life cycle. And we kind of bifurcated into the capital market side, the marketing side. So on the capital market side, we have NASDAQ Private Market, which is we had owned and operated for a number of years. And that was part of a joint venture with a collection of banks. And that's really helping companies think through liquidity while still private. So your tender offers, your buybacks. We've developed a new software to help with transfer and settlement. A lot of these trades happen, offline and different groups, SPVs, et cetera. So this software really helps them to consolidate that into one ticker so they can understand, tape, so they can understand where those trades are happening. Another element of the capital market support is through our investor relations side. So we own and operate a variety of solutions, technology, and services that we provide to our publicly listed companies. So we're able to pull that forward for private companies so that they can keep all of their investor information and notes, understand which portfolio managers are attending which conferences, and then keep that in a consolidated kind of CRM system that has a lot of great, rich data for them. And then also understanding what which investors own their public peers. So it's a lot of, again, good data to augment a lot of what they're getting from the banks and other advisors. But it becomes very insightful and very actionable. Another element of that is ESG. We're seeing a large uptick in private companies leveraging our ESG advisory services. So again, something that we provide to our publicly listed companies, that as private companies start to think of their ESG narrative and the journey they're about to embark on, our team can help build out and develop some of the frameworks and what does best in class look like. And it's really relevant across all sectors, right? Because we see the E, the S, the G mean different things for different companies in different sectors. So we work with them to understand, again, what are your peers doing? How are they reporting right now? And is there something you can be doing internally at the board level, at the executive level, and at the operational level to ensure that you're building your story around this so that once you get to the IPO, you have a better sense of the story you want to tell out to investors. And then lastly on that side is really around governance. So we own a suite of solutions for a secure portal, our board governance portal, and do a lot more around D&O questionnaires, again, supporting companies as they start to get to that element of the process. Then I also mentioned the marketing side. So there's a lot that we can do through our digital assets. We've got our large tower there in Times Square. If you get a chance to come by and see it, please do. It's a great opportunity for us to promote new fundraisings, new executive hires, new board members, new partnerships. We host probably about 400 events a year that are NASDAQ sponsored, whether it's there in Midtown in New York or throughout our different offices and regions. And then a lot of those events kind of dovetail into some of the thought leadership and community building we do. We have a great expansive network of leaders and thought leadership across our NASDAQ listed companies. And so we try to really bring those groups together for this next cohort of leaders that want to learn about what those public peers are doing as they are in the boardroom, as well as talking to analysts and investors throughout that journey.
Yeah, and that comes back to the original point. It's great to engage with you all as early on in the process because there are a lot of resources available at private companies' fingertips versus kind of rolling up your sleeves and digging through some of these public filings yourself. So I think it's important just to remember that a lot of the heavy lifting and tech and data, you can leverage the NASDAQ to find that information much more quickly and cleanly. And so maybe let's get to the exciting topic of the conversation. So it's the listing day itself. Most folks only go through this process one time in the company's history. And so they probably don't know what to expect. So I'd be curious just in terms, what all happens leading up to that ringing of the bell from a marketing standpoint, and what should folks really expect that day of the listing?
Yeah, it really is one of the most exciting days in a company's life, and I'd say for a lot of individuals. I mean, we've been fortunate here to welcome some of the most innovative and best companies to NASDAQ, not to date our conversation, but we recently had Arm's IPO and Instacart, which were both huge celebrations across multiple offices around the world. And so I think, you know, for us, usually the exchange decision can happen sometimes 6 months in advance of their actual IPO. So, you know, say we get that commit, hey, we're going to be working together towards that IPO. Things kind of continue to progress as we lead up to that date. And like anything, you pick up the cadence as we get closer to it. We really start to pick up that cadence about 45 to 30 days out. And what we'll do there, at least on the, we'll start with the internal side and kind of with the project management side, is we'll build out a Gantt chart and really work or assign the different groups together to work on their siloed work streams. So as you think of the event itself, so you know, we have a very inclusive bell ceremony at NASDAQ. We can have up to 75 people there on the podium. We can have groups of up to 400 there in at NASDAQ, and then again, plan the parties around the world. We also have the digital element of this, so the big celebration. And what we'll do a lot of times with companies is on that tower, we'll have a block of minutes dedicated specifically for the company on their IPO day. And we've got a great unique app where their employees can take pictures of themselves, whether they're there on site or at their respective offices or even work from home. And then they put them into a secure link, and then we'll post those there on the tower. So it really helps them feel involved. And even though they might not be there, they feel like they're there. Then, of course, there's the PR element. So our team, we've got about 35 different media outlets that will film at NASDAQ on a given day. We have Squawk Box in the morning, and then we have Fast Money in the afternoon. So CNBC has a actual studio there at NASDAQ. Yahoo Finance also has one. So we'll work with their team around planning that PR piece for their executives, and again, really helping them curate who they want to be speaking to from both the investor side and kind of the financial press to also sometimes the trade press, right? Who are the particular avenues and mediums that are covering their specific sector. And so ensuring that they've got a full day with them or with that PR. And then there's the social media element. So not only through the NASDAQ channels, but continuing to kind of post and help amplify the big day for their brand and for their executives throughout not only day one, but then also working with them to really ensure we have the right cadence post. So you get that tail, that organic tail following the IPO day. So you stay front of mind for both investors and that particular audience, but also customers and partners and then their employees. And what we see for a lot of these for the IPOs is they'll take that B-roll, they'll take a lot of this, and then they roll that into some of their recruitment videos even, right? This is a big day. This is now they're in the major leagues, if you will, as it relates to the corporates. And so they want to let their customers and even their prospects know that, hey, we just went public. We're going to be here for years to come. We want to talk to you more about, you know, where we are in our sales process or where we are in our partnership discussions. So by planning that out with them and leveraging those best practices that we've seen work well for thousands of companies, companies feel very confident that with that plan, they're going to be able to achieve their goals.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I can tell you firsthand, having been at some of the bell ringing ceremonies over the course of my career, there really is nothing like the energy as the clock starts counting down and it really builds up to the actual ceremony itself. So yeah, it's an awesome experience.
A lot of clapping.
A lot of clapping and smiling. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I'd say, you know, one other thing just kind of noting there is for companies or those that may be tuning in is there's the bell ringing element of it, right? And that happens at 9:30 Eastern when the market's open or perhaps at 4 o'clock with the close. But there's also the first trade, right? And so that's the book building process with your lead underwriter, your stabilization agent, as you're getting the order flow in. And that can take anywhere from really 30 minutes up to kind of 2 hours, depending on the size of the deal and the complexity and the attractiveness to the story. So with that, we will also host a show, if you will, that gets piped out for those attending in person, and then that gets piped out to those other offices so that not only is it the bell ringing and the excitement that you have there, but then you also have a curated show leading up to that first trade that gives you an additional opportunity to really thank everybody that helped to get you there. We do a handful of interviews with maybe employees or executives, and then that leads up to the first trade. So it's actually a second celebration on IPO day that we continue to get incredibly great feedback from our companies.
Yeah, that's excellent. And then I know you touched on a bunch of things around communicating with employees, kind of how the attendance process works, but maybe are there any interesting anecdotes in terms of truly unique things you've seen done? Because I know it can be kind of all over the place sometimes in terms of how people approach it. So I don't know if you've seen anything that you think works better or was just a unique approach, kind of the listing day itself.
Yeah, it's tough, honestly. We kind of joke it's a bit like a wedding. Right. And, you know, at some point you're going to have your list and you're going to have some cutoff based on capacity. And you're going to have a few people that are bummed out that they're not going to make it there. So I think, you know, what we've seen and it's really across the board and it depends on the company and their respective culture. We've had small groups that say, hey, we just want to have our executive team, the board members, maybe some early investors. And then we've had incredibly large groups. I think Stone out of Brazil was an incredible story where they brought about 200 or so there to New York. Monday.com was another one. They had about 400 people attend, even though it was an Israeli base. They had a large office, obviously, in New York as well, but they had over 400 people attend the bell. Lyft was another one that was really interesting. They wanted to have that executive team, the board members, but then they brought their top drivers there based on miles and kind of the longevity of those drivers in the seat and kind of the different way that they prioritize, I shouldn't say prioritize, but the way that They really kind of filter through who their top people are on from a community perspective. And so that was a unique one as well. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong way, certainly, to do it. But it is something that you do want to start to kind of think through and then think, kind of have that cutoff point. And then sometimes companies can have fun with how, again, they add to it or who kind of gets that lottery ticket, so to speak, for the bell ceremony and gets to celebrate. One other thing I'd probably hit, though, on those that internal comms, and I'm sure on some of the previous shows, maybe somebody's covered this, but you know what we also see done well through this part of the planning is, you know, that executive team really articulating that this is absolutely a time to celebrate, but that it is a milestone and there is still work to do. And, you know, that your team with that messaging really wants to be on the same page around kind of the tone and the topical relevance, because you want everybody to be saying the same message so that you don't have confusion for your employees. A lot of people don't understand what a lockup period is, don't understand the tax implications for their ownership of their particular equity piece. So communicating that and making sure it's a uniformed message to the internal employee base. And then also, you know, saying, hey, we have resources to answer these questions. You know, you typically want to have some form of a social media policy in place. You want to have some education around insider trading, the equity plan information, and then you want to continue to kind of distribute that. And it's more than just one all hands call. It's usually, you know, creating almost an internal or on your intranet, you know, whether it's a Slack channel or a landing page, but having that resource page that employees can access to get all their questions answered, because there's a lot that comes up, and actually a lot of it gets pointed to us and we have to quickly point them back to the company specifically to say, hey, this is the best person to answer that question there, because each company will do it differently, but it is something that comes up time and time again.
I mean, those are all great points, right? It's the IPO, like the listing day can feel like the finish line, but it's also more importantly, almost the starting point for your life now as a public company. And I think the preparation work, just in terms of like being super organized on the internal comms to the employees and getting that webpage set up to your point, can make a huge difference, I think, in terms of everyone's experience as the company kind of transitions from the private to the kind of the public eye. So, and then I guess, okay, so the company is now public. What is your level of interaction on kind of a go forward basis with the company?
Yeah, so after, so I run our IPO business, and then after that great special celebration, that gets handed over to our, what we call our relationship management team, or customer success, if you're a tech company. So they'll have an assigned relationship manager that will be working closely with them. They're typically at the bell ceremony. They're there interacting with them up to the bell itself. And this is going to be your direct point of contact at NASDAQ. So anything related to marketing on a go-forward basis, if you want to host events, if you want to, again, leverage our tower, if you have questions around your billing, right? We only bill once a year. It's kind of different to, sorry, my lights went off here. It's unique to NASDAQ that you get an annual bill from us. We don't bill on a quarterly basis. But if there's any questions as it relates to the relationship with NASDAQ, you have a dedicated relationship manager. That is your point. We also have what we call a mid director. That's our market intelligence desk. And so for them, they're proactively reaching out on anything happening with the stock. Right. So now you've got an actual analyst at the desk. So as your stock moves up or down, perhaps on no news, you've got a live person covering your stock and a subset of peers that you can call and say, hey, what are you seeing? Are you seeing any particular transactions or large volumes that we should be aware of? And so that's been incredibly valuable for our listed companies. And then lastly, you'll have an investor relations sales director. And so, as I mentioned before, we have our suite of services and solutions that are provided to companies And so in addition to the CRM and what we call investor relations intelligence, that's kind of the technology, we also provide those advisory services such as surveillance. So understanding who's actually moving in and out of your stock in about real time. It's T plus two on settlement versus waiting for those 13Fs to come out about 45 days after the close. We also provide services around investor targeting. So understanding again, who, which portfolio managers own your peers and or who's going to be at particular conferences that you may want to meet. So again, augmenting a lot of the great work the banks are providing. And then also global perception studies. So doing a survey ahead of a quarterly earnings call or maybe an analyst or investor day to get a sense of what the street is thinking about where you are now. And we, NASDAQ, as a public company, do that on an annual basis as well. So I think a lot of this that I mentioned on the IR side was not only born out of the need for our clients, but also for us as NASDAQ being a publicly traded company and going through this type of diligence and annual and quarterly cadence ourselves, saying, hey, what can we leverage to make sure that our story is being told well to the street?
A lot of great interaction for years to come with the exchange once public. And so I think we'll round it out here with my question I like to ask all my guests at the end of each session. So Jack, what are your three top pieces of advice that you'd give to a private company looking to go public? Doesn't have to be related to just today's topic.
Yeah, three. Okay. So I think one is really, and you've probably heard this throughout the other segments, start the planning process early. I think we touched upon it in, you know, an earlier answer as well, but for the deal team specifically, you're going to be juggling a lot. A lot of this is going to be relatively new, plus you're going to have your day job. So starting that process early, creating your checklist, and really identifying, okay, how do we prioritize what needs to be done over the course of the next 6, 12, 18 months is only going to help lighten that lift, right? I think the second point I'd probably say, and coupled with that, is leverage your advisors. Obviously, you Baird's done a great job with this in working with companies leading up to it. I think NASDAQ, obviously, as we mentioned, does a great job supporting and helping leading up to this. You'll have legal, you'll have accounting, perhaps even an IPO advisor at some stage to support some of the IR function. So leveraging their experiences as you build out that checklist is really going to help lighten that load and then just give you a higher degree of confidence that things are trending in the right direction as things only get busier when you get closer to that date. I'd say the third piece in along starting that process earlier is starting to engage with investors and analysts earlier in the process. I think that's probably on a lot of checklists these days, but as we've seen this trough and we've seen the buy side really reorient from growth to growth with a path to profitability, cash efficiencies, certain KPIs, for companies being able to engage early on, tell your story, and most importantly, get feedback on your story, that really helps you to narrow the story you want to tell. Because at some point, you're going to get to drafting, you're going to have to, you know, obviously file that prospectus, and you want to have a very specific story that you're going to tell, not only in the prospectus, but then as you get to that roadshow, you know, the companies that do it well say, hey, you know, Tom, we've been talking for almost 2 years now, here we are, here's how our story and our numbers have evolved over the last 4 to 8 quarters. And this is why we're very excited for, you know, this opportunity to go public. And this is what, you know, our future looks like. And then by just creating that relationship, by telling that story, not only the feedback loop, but then you have a better sense of who you want those anchor investors to be when it comes to your IPO day and post, right? You have a more familiarity with the group that's now going to come into your stock and hopefully be a great partner for years to come.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we touched on it in the last session too. It's like there's a lot of process-oriented things when you're going public, but don't forget at the end of the day, you're selling stock. That's ultimately one of the most important things to get the deal done. So I want to thank Jack for his time today. A lot of great nuggets of wisdom in today's session. If you want to get a hold of either Jack or I, you can find our contact info on our respective websites or shoot us a DM on LinkedIn. So thanks again to our viewers. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.